We are in Matthew chapter 25, Matthew 25, reading verses 14 through 18 in Matthew 25. How many know what April 15th is? Other than it might be your birthday, but April 15th, is that a day that means anything to anybody? Tax time, exactly. So, you know, obviously, I'm pathetic in so many areas, and I don't want an amen on that, but the reality of it is one of the things I've not done well is talked on stewardship and on money and that sort of thing. And I'll tell you, the world doesn't back off on talking on money and stuff, but boy, when you get into a church and stewardship and talents and your time and the things you give to the Lord, oh boy, that's a topic that people get very touchy about, and it's exciting stuff. If you know the Lord as your Savior, you are one of His employees, you know? He expects certain things from you, and really, this is really an employee handbook right here. Once you've joined the team, once you've trusted Christ as your Savior, the biblical term for it is stewardship, but really this is your employee manual, and you and I, we work for the Lord. Say that with me. We work for the Lord. Now, it ought not to be offensive to you and I to find out what our master, what our owner, what our employer wants us to do for him, and in the process, you and I get tremendous benefits. Company benefits, if you will. And so really this morning, that's what we're talking about, is just what kind of work are we doing? And this will be more of a teaching message this morning, but I love this stuff. It excites me, and I hope it does you too. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we look at Matthew 25. We'll move quickly this morning. And verse 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them 5 other talents. And likewise he that received 2, he also gained other 2, but he that received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money." Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God, for the joy that it is to look into it this morning. Lord, help us to apply it. Help us to understand what we're looking at and leave this room with a purpose. I pray that every person here knows you as their personal Savior and they're already on your team. But if not, then at some point I pray that they'd be moved to say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive my sins." They too could have that hope of eternal glory through Jesus Christ that most of us here possess. Lord, bless your word, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Last week, we were in Matthew chapter 20. We won't go through that again, but if you turn back to Matthew chapter 20, you'll notice the Bible says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like." Starts right out like that. And then Matthew chapter 25 today in verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is as." Jesus, 32 times, I think, in 31 verses in the book of Matthew, talks about the kingdom of heaven. It's the only place, Matthew is the only place where it says the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom of heaven is really Christ's rule here on earth. We'll see that in the 1,000-year reign, but we can have Christ rule on earth right now if we'll let him. That's a choice you and I make. Now, obviously, we know that Satan is the god of this world. The world is out there worshiping Satan, whether they realize it or not. But the reality of it is, Jesus Christ is our king. He's the one in charge of us. And he has as much control over us as we allow him to have. So I'm telling you, we can experience kingdom-like life right now in the year 2015. We don't have to wait for the millennial reign. We can have it now if we will just surrender to his leadership and authority in our lives right now. We can start experiencing the blessings and the benefits of what is going on when he talks about when the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like Cornerstone Baptist Church, where everybody's happy and joyful, and where they all love one another, and they all look out for each other. That could be the case if we would allow it to happen. Because the kingdom of heaven is not like all the infighting and nastiness and stuff that goes on. That's not what it's about. Does that make sense? Okay, so here we go. The kingdom of heaven. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country." Now, obviously, the picture here is that Jesus Christ has gone away. John chapter 14, "I go to prepare a place for you." He has gone away. He's in a far country. We can't see him, but we know he's alive and well, and we know he's coming back. That's what this story is about, and that's what we're picturing here in Matthew chapter 25. So We have a man of power and wealth in our story who leaves his domain and hands out resources to be used for the master while he is away. We got three stewards or employees, and they're involved in giving their orders. One received 5 talents, one 2 talents, and one talent. The 5 and 2 get busy. The 5-talented guy and the 2-talented guy, they get busy. They're working. One dug a hole and buried it. I just like to say a dog can do that. Okay? One dug a hole and buried it. And then in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 19, we stopped at verse 19 of Matthew chapter 25, you'll notice in your Bible it says, after a long time, first part of verse 19, after a long time. Say that with me. After a long time, he came back. Whenever we leave, of course, Phil and Tori are off to college now. Obviously, we never leave the B team. They're too young. But when we were leaving the A team, when Emily and I had a life, we used to go out and stuff, and the kids would always ask. Of course, they were fine on their own. The kids, when will you be back? And our answer was, we could return at any minute. We always said that, you know. They hated that answer, but I enjoyed it because they hated it. But the reality of it is, Christ could come back at any minute, but here we are. You know what? It's been a long time. And so obviously, there's skeptics out there, and we'll get into that. But after a long time, but the fact is, he's coming back. He is. Count on it. He's coming back. So after a long time, he comes back. And the 5 and 2, I'll call them, the 5 talents, the 2 talents, that crowd, their report, if you read them, is virtually the same. And so he received, verse number 20, he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. That's pretty good. If whatever you have, you can double. That's pretty good. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Woo-hoo. Let's do that. Woo-hoo. That's pretty bad. Let's try that again. Woo-hoo. There we go. All right, you're getting better. Work on that this afternoon. Verse 22, he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents with them. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Same verses, just 5 and 2. Same thing. Now, commentators will tell you, obviously, everybody acts differently, but pretty much these two guys did the same thing. One was given more, one was given a little less, but they did outstanding. They doubled what the master had given them. But the interesting part comes with the sloth. Thou wicked and sloth, we'll call him the sloth. I like the word sloth. I like saying it. I don't know about you, the sloth. So anyway, the real interesting part of the whole story isn't the guys that did well. Isn't it sad that we're interested in the guy that did poorly? You know, we really are. That's where all the exciting stuff comes in. Don't we? What makes the news nowadays, folks? It's not the person doing their job. John Phillips wasn't in the paper. He was just a steady guy. Raising a family, going to work, drawing no attention. He wasn't in the paper. Who makes the paper? The losers, the lowlife, the scumbags, you know. I don't know if I'm supposed to use those terms or not, but that's what they are. You know, let's just speak truth to power, you know. So all of that, you know, what happens? The rest of the story is really about the sloth, sad to say. Because you know what? There's a lot of sloths out there. There's sloths in our churches. There's sloths in people that you think they're amounting to something, and in reality they're not. And we'll get into that a little bit. And in chapter 25, in verse number 24, then in which he received 1 talent, said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid the talent in the earth. Lo, here thou hast a design, as he blows the dirt off it, shakes it off, and here. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. What a difference from, we just heard, well done, well done. Then he was, thou wicked and slothful servant. You know what? There is a difference how God treats people. Don't miss that. Everybody wants you to believe that, oh, God's a God of love, and don't worry, when you stand before him, he's going to, no. That's not what this passage is saying. There was a couple that did well. Good. Well done. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You do poorly, you wicked and slothful servant. I'll tell you what, those are nasty words. And he goes on into eternal punishment. God treats people differently based on whether you know his son or not. It's not based on the works that you're doing. Don't confuse this that, oh, this guy was working for the Lord and he didn't do well, so he lost his... No, this guy was never a believer. And I'll show you that in a little bit. I'm getting ahead of myself. So we have the master, the employees, the resources, and the reckoning. Number one, lost or saved, near or far, you have a master. Lost or saved, near or far, you have a master. I heard someone say they were on a plane one time, and he was working in he was in obviously in evangelistic work, and he was sitting next to someone. And you know, I don't know about you, but if I'm around anyone for any amount of time, I start to wonder about their eternal soul. I wonder if I can share my faith with them or anything. And sometimes, you know, you don't want to be a pain, but if the conversation arises, and so he started up a conversation with this lady that he was sitting next to, and he says, you know, he talked about he was a person of faith and believed in God and wanted to know where she was. Oh, I don't believe in God. He says, really? He says, well, tell me what you mean by that. She says, I don't believe in some big guy sitting up there with long hair and a beard on his high horse, holy hill, just waiting for me to mess up so he can judge me for it. He says, oh my goodness, I don't believe in that either. We don't believe in that God. That's not our Savior. But I'll tell you what, whether you're lost or saved, there's two groups of people in the entire world. We can minimize it. You either know the Lord and are saved or you do not. That's all there is. There's no middle ground. You either have Christ in your heart or you don't. You may play religion, you may go to church, you may do all of those things, but if Christ is not in your heart, you are lost. You can't go to church and become a Christian any more than you can go to a garage and become a car. It's nothing like that. The difference between lost and saved is whether you've chosen Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Acts 16:31, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. It's a choice that you make, but once you've made that choice, Christ moves in, he'll never leave you or forsake you, and now you move from the lost camp to the saved camp. Okay? Now, God is in control whether you believe in him or not. Take that. The world's out there saying, hey, you ain't going to affect me. I'm going to do. God is using you whether you believe in him or not. Right. Isaiah 45:22-23 says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, and the world has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Everyone is going to admit it at some point that God Almighty rules and reigns in the hearts of men. But it's just a matter of the timing when that will happen. But God's going to use your life whether you want it to happen or not. Near or far, when the cat's away, the mice play. Did you ever hear that? When the cat's away, the mice play. What's that about? When we think that there is no governing authority, we do whatever we feel like. Sad to say with Christians, whether you're close to the Lord or far from the Lord, he still wants to use you. And, you know, I won't ask for hands this morning, but the reality of it is sometimes we feel closer to the Lord than others. Sometimes you look and say, where are you, Lord? What's going on in my life? How come I can't hear from you? And he seems so far away. He's not. But it feels like it. Sometimes he feels very close. But the reality of it is that he has a purpose for us, lost or saved, near or far. God is going to use you. The sloth. I'm looking for it in my notes because I wanted to be sure and show you this. But go with me in Matthew chapter 25 and over on page, well, on in verse number 27. He says, you wicked and slothful servant in verse 26, and then in verse 27, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchanges, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. There's no fairness in the Bible. The world will say, you can't give it to the guy who's got 10. He's got so much already. God can do what he wants to do with what he has. It's not up to you to equalize society, to equify. That's not going to happen, folks. God will do what he wants to do with the resources that he has. And if he wants to give Stan Griffin more than he's given you, then that's how it ought to be. All right? Now, you know I'm joking. But the reality of it is he's not concerned about whether the ground you're walking on is level. He's more concerned about how you're walking. So everyone that has shall be given, and he that hath shall have abundance, but him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not every employee is a Christian employee. You know that? Yep. It's possible, we don't have a choir, but it's possible folks could sing in the choir and be lost. Boy, they looked like they were on the team. I'll bet you we have members here that are lost, not by design. How do you become a member of the Cornerstone Baptist Church? You come forward, say, well, Pastor, I'd like to join the church. Great. Do you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? Yes, I do. When did you get saved? They'll tell me. I'm not going to look at them and say, you're lying. I don't believe you. But the reality of it is, either through their own minds or some thought or some process or just wanting to be a part and outward, they can lie about that. Well, have you been baptized? They can say yes or no. Well, if they haven't been, well, you need to be baptized. Okay. But if you get baptized without being saved, you're just a wet, lost person. It didn't save you. Okay? You can go all through that. Once you've been saved and baptized and you publicly say that you are, we vote you in. Now you're a member. Well, if that wasn't true, you're a lost member. And I'll tell you what, come Judgment Day, it's impressive to be a member of the Cornerstone Baptist Church. That's big on your resume. But I'll tell you what, when you stand before God Almighty and you look at him and it says, God's going to say, depart from me, you wicked thing. I never knew you. That's how it'll work. See, not every employee, this guy, the sloth, did not know the master because he judged him wrongly. He said, I knew that you had reaped where you hadn't sown and gathered where you had. He said, I knew you were able to go get crops where you hadn't even planted them. You scare me. He looked at him like he was that big guy on the pinnacle just looking for some chance to go zot on him like they do in BC. You know what? That's not the God that I serve. He's not requiring that. He's not asking that. He wants you to know him first. You build a relationship with him. As you spend time together, you start to love one another. And as you love one another, like we talked about last week, the longer you're together, the more you look like each other. The more you start thinking alike. I can remember every now and then, years ago, I've learned since that when you're counseling couples and you talk to one and they had this attitude about something, if they'd been together for any amount of time at all, if they had an attitude about something or whatever, I would ignorantly think, well, you know, she might think that, but there's no way he does. Trust me, they're both thinking it, okay? They're on the same page. Why? Because after a period of time, your thoughts and philosophies become alike. That's how it is. If you marry a nasty person, you're not going to bring them up to be a nice, get them recovered. Only God can change a heart. After a while, generally, we don't rise to the highest point together. We sink to the lowest point together. Only God can bring us up. And so as time goes on, we become more like each other. And that's why it's so important for God to be in the home to set a standard that you can live up to rather than look at the world and set a standard to go down to. Boy, you talk about messed up. We take one of our great athletes, an Olympian, and tortured individual. Just messed up. And the world applauds him. I'll tell you what. Folks, the world's not getting better. Do not let the world be your standard of what joy and happiness is. Right here, let the owner's manual be the joy and happiness, the employee guide. Get into this book, and I'm telling you, we can have an abundant life. It's incredible. But what am I saying? The longer you spend together, the more you become like each other. The longer you spend with Christ. See, the sloth didn't know his master. I don't know what his problem was, but he was nothing to be afraid of. The other two know that if I work hard and I perform and I do well, and if I just work at it, and this message needs to go on longer, and we'll talk about it the next time, but you know something? God's not asking you to double what you have. He's just asking you to be faithful. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And if they had come back, the five had only come back and had one, he made progress. I believe his master would have been pleased. He did something. He did something. Say that with me. He did something. But digging a hole and burying your talent, that's not doing anything. Now, I'm going to say something hard here that folks don't want to hear. But if you've got a talent God has given you, whether you can sing, whether you can speak, well, I don't care what it is. If you have resources that you're setting on and you're not being a good steward of those things, God's going to come and take that talent from you and give it to someone that's already using theirs, and you'll have nothing. Amen. I believe that. For you to sit here in church Sunday after Sunday and never be engaged in the work of the ministry, God will not bless that. And you will stand before him someday. And I'm getting ahead of myself. But number one, lost or saved, near or far, you have a master. Number two, there will come a day when accounting will happen. After a long time, he came back. They go down through. 2 Peter 3:3-4 says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? You know what? It's been a long time. I know I've said that already, but I'll tell you, I don't know about you. I am tired of waiting. Amen. I want him to come back. Now, I know we're supposed to love his appearing, and we certainly would. But I'll tell you what, in America is the greatest place. I love my home. I love my family. But I'll tell you, sometimes don't you just want to get out of here? You know? The losses that we've experienced, some of the things your families have been through, and God has blessed me. But I'll tell you, there's never a week that goes by where you just think, boy, the rapture would be really nice right about now. But it'll only be good for those that are ready. If you're not ready, you're going to get left behind. But I'll tell you what. So in 2 Peter, he was warning. This is it. And where's the promise of his coming? So since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Nothing's changed. He said he's coming. I guess it's not happening. That would be a mistake to think that. Okay? Matthew 25:19, after a long time. There are two judgments in the Bible that you need to understand. Because there's going to be an accounting. Say that with me. There's going to be an accounting. Dad's coming home. That ought to mean something to you if you were raised in a family like I was, because he'd give you certain duties to do during the day, and dad's coming home. How did you handle that? Generally, you fooled around until you thought he was almost there, and then you went like crazy to work. Well, we're not blessed with that type of thing, but he's coming back. There's two types of judgments that will happen. Number one is the Great White Throne Judgment. Go with me over to Revelation, the last book in your New Testament. Revelation chapter 20. And if you're using a Pew Bible, it's on page 1350. In verse number 11. This is a fearful picture. This is a scary picture. I don't know, I can't... I'm thinking of times I've been really scared in my life. Twice when I got married. That would be... I almost wrecked a plane when I was learning to fly. Not proud of that, but I survived. But I was scared there for a little bit. Just different things. But listen, the Great White Throne Judgment, folks, you can't imagine. If you know Christ, this isn't your problem. You're not going to be at it. This is for the lost. there is going to be an accounting. Revelation 20 and verse 11 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Scared. You want to run, but you can't run. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." Small and great's not in stature, it's in position. Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin. Those men, whether you realize it or not, obviously were not believers, but their lives were used by God. You say, how could that be? We won't get into it this morning. Pharaoh was not a believer, but his life was used by God. There's just so many examples of that. I did Stalin great stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. "And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to the works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." The judgment comes, the accounting is given. The lost will stand before God. God will look at the record, and if your name is not in the book of life, you will be cast into the lake of fire. Eternal punishment forever and ever. Folks say, "I don't like that. I don't believe that." I don't really care. Didn't ask you. It's what the Bible says. We need to stop apologizing and being politically correct and just speak the truth. Deal with it. That is one judgment, the great white throne judgment. You hear some Southern gospel songs, "Won't it be a great time dancing around the great white throne?" I hate that. That's not a great time. We're not going to dance around the great, well, it'll be some dancing, trying to miss the fire, I guess. But that's not the throne that there will be a great time around. It's a judgment throne that people want to run from, but they can't get away. And they'll be gone. Then there is another judgment, which is called the Bema. And what it was, the Bema, is 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians 3, and I'll give you the page number in a second. That is on page number 1214 in your pew Bible. The Bema was the throne or the place, was a raised platform in the center where the awards were given out for winning the race. It's kind of an athletic venue, if you will, that after the race is run and the athletes are getting their ribbons or their trophies, they come up to the Bema seat and they are given their rewards. And this is the picture that Paul painted of the judgment seat of Christ, is the Bema, where you would go and you're looking forward to getting your reward for running the race well. And the Bible talks about the Bema seat in chapter 3 and verse number 10 of 1 Corinthians. "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder," Paul is talking, he said, "I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Our purpose is built on the foundation that Jesus Christ laid. We're not building on anything else. Now, everyone knows that foundations are important. It's critical. Nothing stands without a foundation. David said, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" Nothing. It's over. Paul was saying, "I'm a master builder, and I've built on the foundation that Jesus Christ laid. Don't try to build on anything else." Okay? Now, "For other foundations," verse 11, "can no man lay, which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation," what foundation? Christ's foundation. "Gold, silver, precious stones." Those are good things. "Or you can build other things, wood, hay, and stubble," the Bible says. Okay? "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So let me, you know, everybody loves a bonfire. I know these messages go out, but on Earth Day, I like to burn a tire. I know, it just, I hate Earth Day, all right? So anyway, the fire marshal will be coming now, but I've met him before. So here we are, okay? So everybody loves a bonfire, and everybody's had a fire, but the reality of it is not everything burns in fire. The Bible says, you know what? We can build on certain things. We can have gold, silver, precious stones. Those things are fireproof. Now, they may change in form a little bit. Gold will melt, but gold's still there. You know, silver will melt, but silver's still there. Precious stones obviously retain their form, but the picture is they're not going away. They last. Okay? On the other hand, wood, hay, and stubble, how long does that last? Not too long. Gold, silver, precious stones are the things that we do for the Lord. Say that with me. For the Lord. Not only two of you said it. Let's try that again. For the Lord. That's the thing that matters. See, last week we talked about the vineyard, and they're all getting mad. Wait a minute, I worked all day, and I only got this. And that guy came in, and it was almost over, and he got the same thing. And you know what? We're doing it for the Lord. Doesn't really matter about the equity of it. It's the joy in serving the Lord. When your motives are right, when you're serving the Lord properly, when you're putting yourself last and Him first, you're investing gold, silver, precious stones. That stuff is fireproof. It will last forever. Those rewards are building materials that are going on ahead, and when you get to heaven, you will see them. Bible says, don't invest where things with moss or rust doth corrupt, or where thieves can break in and steal. This stuff cannot be touched by worldly influences. We're doing it for the Lord, and it will last. And I don't know how it'll be in heaven, but whether he's got a blowtorch, whether everybody has a bonfire, the Bible says it's going to be tried as yet. That fire is going to check your works, just who you are doing it for. And sad to say, there's a pile of Christians out there that are doing it all about themselves. What's in it for me? Will anybody recognize me if I do that? You know, Pastor, you never asked me to do anything around here. Well, there's a toilet brush down there, and you know, you could do, well, you know, that's beneath my station in life. Now, I've never done that. Nobody's ever said that to me, but you know what? Some people think they deserve certain, you know, let God put you in the position you're supposed to be in. Amen. Let Him take care of your status. You know, a lot of us, when we were young, thought we were really going to be something. I don't think that anymore. That's just not the case. God will take care of your status, who you are. Just serve Him. Just do it for the Lord. Or you can live for yourself, and it'll all burn up. Wood, hay, and stubble. And when the fire is done, the only thing you have is your salvation. Now, that's not bad. Folks, don't get me wrong. I'm not downplaying salvation. But you know what? I want a well done. And I'm not talking about my steak. I want a well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want Him to look at me and say, thou wicked and slothful servant. Now, that can't happen to me because I know Christ is my Savior. That you cannot hear those words if you know Christ is your Savior. But what you can have is nothing. Your works will be burned up. You will have nothing other than your salvation when you stand before God. And you know what? That's not a well done. That's not good. What are we talking about? Stewardship, talking about living a life that matters, talking about being salt and light. I'm serving the Lord. Everything I have belongs to Him. You ought to be able to be saying those words and making your life count. And I'll tell you what, if we would just spend more time with Christ, be with Him, let His heart influence us so that we became more like Him, I'm telling you, the world is dying because Christians are not real. We're not convincing. What a shame. Lost or saved, near or far, God's going to use you. Now, I've thought about this, and I'll close with this. I know we're out of time. Would you like to be there's a difference between being used and useful. Someone calls up, you never hear from them unless they want something. What do you know? I'm gonna get used. There's no love, they just wanna use you. You know what? God can do that to you. He's gonna use you. On the other hand, if you're on his team, you can be useful. Big difference. I'm not being used. I'm being useful. Because I'm on his team. And man, oh man, oh man, you can't beat a life in Christ. We lost a family member this week. But we know where he is. What's that worth to you? There isn't anything I wouldn't do for the freedom and the hope and joy that gives. There's nothing I would trade for that. Just that alone is worth serving my Savior. Stewards. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had in your word. And I hope what we've said has made sense. Lord, I pray that you would put in us a fire and a desire to serve you, to get excited about being a Christian, to get busy, to do the things you ask us to do and lay down at night tired, knowing that we spent the day in the effort of our master, our owner, our employer. Lord, help us to be good employees. Lord, if there are those here that have never said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior, I pray right now that they'd be willing to say those words, and God's going to use them. I just pray that he's using them because they know him personally through Jesus Christ. Two groups of people in the world, lost or saved. The lost is a lot bigger group. Lord, I pray that not in this room. Pray that every person here knows you as their Savior. And then, Lord, we need to be reminded as we continue on in this series that everything we have belongs to you. Help us to hold nothing back. I don't know what else to say, Lord. We'll open the altar. Folks can respond. I pray for those that are hurting. I pray for those that need to make adjustments. I pray for those, most of all, that are lost, that today they choose you. Lord, bless our invitation in Jesus' name.